Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarians Show. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and P.J. Brandomarty from the Diocese of Columbus.
Hello. Hello, Brett.
So today we're going to be talking about adoration and the Blessed Sacraments, but before we get there, Alfonso, if you'll lead us in prayer.
Yes. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I offer you the most precious body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences with which he himself is offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. Amen.
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 And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So as we mentioned, today we're going to be talking about adoration. And for those of you who might not be Catholic or maybe have never even heard of adoration, this practice is basically Catholics believe the true presence in the Blessed Sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity, is present in every host of the Eucharist all around the world, which Alfonso's prayer hinted at, in all the tabernacles of the world. So Catholics from, as I don't know exactly when it started, but for a very long time, have gone before our Lord knowing he's truly there and just brought their prayers or merely just sat in his presence just to obtain the graces. One thing that I really like to think of, I've heard one priest from the Diocese of Charlotte described it to me as, it's like going to the beach. Whether you put on sunscreen or sunglasses, the sun's rays are still going to affect you.
Yeah.
So going in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the rays of grace are still going to affect you, whether you're just there obstinately saying, I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this.
Right.
Our Lord's going to affect you, which is very comforting. And we'll get into some of our own personal practices and even some of our own shortcomings with, with this very worthy devotion. So before we delve into it, I've got a quote actually from St. Mother Teresa now. And her quote says, when you look at the crucifix, you understand how much Jesus loved you. When you look at the sacred host, you understand how much Jesus loves you now. Which really summarizes what Catholics believe about the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, our Lord suffered and died for our sins, but he also left us this memorial, this great sacrament that we can actually come into full communion with him each and every day through the Mass, which is just beautiful. And then we can extend that even more just by sitting and adoring this great gift that we've been given. So let's go ahead and start off with talking about our own experiences with adoration. What are some of your favorite things to do? What are your go-to activities? Maybe hopefully it's not like cartwheels or hand turkeys when you're doing adoration.
I think I'm physically incapable of doing cartwheels without divine intervention. That's just not going to be a thing. So adoration, for me, I have a lot of trouble with silence. It probably comes from spending a decade in the consumer electronics industry where I'm always attached to something and silence just doesn't work for me. So adoration, when I started seminary, when I was growing up, I had no idea what adoration was. Adoration was a completely foreign concept. So until I came to seminary, I never really had a devotion to adoration. So it was something I definitely had to grow and develop, and it's taken a lot of time. But at this point, I'm very comfortable with it. So the biggest thing is silence. And sometimes it's going to take a while to get to silence. For me, I have spent 45 minutes of my holy hour just getting to that point of silence.
So you use that phrase, holy hour. Can you expand? What do you mean by holy hour for those who might not have heard that term?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's a very common practice amongst priests and religious and amongst many Catholics is to do what's called a holy hour, which is to take an hour of time and sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament in adoration in order to focus entirely on the beauty that is the Blessed Sacrament and to really find that time and use it to commune with God in the most intimate way. I've said many times, you can call your friend on the phone, but wouldn't you prefer to be
in their presence?
In their presence, absolutely.
Right.
So you can pray to Jesus at any point, and he wants you to. He always loves hearing our prayers, but having the opportunity to actually sit with him and see him is so much better, mm-hmm. If you're able. So I do my best to make my holy hour every day. Sometimes it's in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Sometimes it's not. But during that time, the hardest thing for me is getting to silence. So I've found a lot of ways to help me move towards silence that have been very efficacious, very grace-filled during my holy hour. I pray the Liturgy of the Hours, the mm-hmm. Divine Office. I do spiritual reading. That could be the writings of the popes, the writings of saints, the catechism. The nice part about being in graduate level theology is most of my coursework I can actually take into holy hour.
It's true. We do have some required reading that's also spiritual if done properly.
Right. Double dipping. But silence is the biggest issue for me. So if I just sit down in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I have nothing to center me other than looking at him, I frequently will just, my mind will just wander. And I personally have trouble with that because then I feel guilty about my mind wandering. So I found that by bringing in some spiritual reading or journaling or some structured form of prayer
right.
allows me to get to a point where I can be centered so that when I finish, for example, praying morning prayer or daytime prayer or evening prayer in the chapel, I can look up and go, okay, I'm ready. What's going on?
Right. And you mentioned that the struggle with the silence, and we can talk more about the specifics and really delve a little bit deeper later in the show about how you've already intimated at some of the ways you've overcome that, but I know that's the hardest thing in today's day and age. No one wants to be quiet. Yeah. And even we have a cardinal who just wrote a book about the power of silence,
right.
Which I mean is a very powerful book. And so that's such a hanging block. So I really want to come back and explore that topic in detail later in the show. But Alfonso, what are some of the things that you do during holy hour or during adoration?
So I agree with PJ. I think one of the biggest struggles is trying to quiet the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately when we're blessed at seminary to have adoration every day except Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Eucharistic adoration. And so when I get in there, it's 4:45 in the afternoon. And by then I'm,
it's prime nap time.
Right. It's prime nap time. And you're also tired. You have a lot of things going through your mind about, what assignments you need to get done for tomorrow, the next day, trying to meet deadlines. And so really trying to quiet the soul and kind of refocus, where I'm at is kind of like the main priority when I enter into adoration. Mm-hmm. After that, I try to give thanks to the Lord for things that happen in the day. And just kind of not immediately go into petition mode because I feel like...
give me.
Right. And so instead of just, trying to really be very intentional about just giving thanks to the things I've received and even the most mundane things. And then from there on, I try to have like a conversation with the Lord, like a very genuine conversation and just tell him what, what's going on with me, even though he knows, obviously, because he's God.
Right.
But just to, just to really have that encounter with him. And then by that time, after that, I feel like I start to doze off. And so I'm reminded with what you were saying about the sun, the rays of
right.
the sun still affect you. Whenever I begin to doze off adoration, I'm reminded of St. Therese of Lisieux. She said that when she would go into adoration, she would actually fall asleep and she would, mm-hmm. and she would say that, well, whenever the physician is operating on a patient, that the patient will be put to sleep. And so in a certain sense, we go in there and we go to the divine physician and the divine physician, and that's how I rationalize my sleep, basically.
Well, it's an excuse, but also, yeah, I'm such a sinner that I have to be put to sleep to actually
right.
for God to work on me.
But again, it's like you're there. It's not like it's time misused or, it's not, it's you're going to get a benefit out of it either way. Like there's something that happens mm-hmm. to you. Even if you're not actually doing something. And then if I'm struggling to formulate my prayer, the office, like PJ said, helps me greatly to just kind of focus what I want to say. And because the office will, through the Psalms, sometimes will articulate what I can't convey in my own words.
For those listeners who don't know what the office is, we are not talking about the hit NBC
yeah.
comedy. We are talking about the Divine Office, which is the official liturgical prayer of the church that is required to be prayed by all bishops, priests, and deacons, and many religious as well, and is encouraged to be prayed by anybody. It's a wonderful, very structured style of prayer. My parents have been praying it for years. I had no idea that they were until I got to seminary. And one more thing we have in common.
It's great.
But, Alfonso, there's something you brought up that I want to hit on. But first, I'm going to let Britt talk because he's in charge.
You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and PJ Brandimarty from the Diocese of Columbus.
Hello.
Now, sorry, I did cut off PJ, so we'll jump right back in and have PJ.
Great.
I was about to make an impassioned point. So
he's on the edge of his seat here.
I know. It's great. Well, I mean, I'm always making impassioned points, but this one, I'm pounding the table. You might be able to hear it. Alfonso brought up that God already knows everything that we're going to say. And this was the biggest breakthrough for me in my prayer, especially in adoration. Just be honest with God. I used to think when I go into adoration, I need to just sit down, cock my head to the side, and look like a holy card, and go, oh, Lord, how wonderful you are. And even though I'm having this terrible day, I'm still just, you know, going, oh, Jesus, I love you so. When really I'm thinking, I'm kind of mad about what's going on right now, and I'd like to say some things about it. Right. The biggest thing as far as prayer, especially the real deep communal prayer with Christ, is just say what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. That is the best way of getting through. God knows if you're angry. God knows if you're happy. And there's no point in sugarcoating it in prayer. Go to Him with everything. Mm-hmm. It's just like the confessional. When you bring God everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, He's going to work with it. If you try and hide it, He's going to prod you. He's going to go, is that really what you think right now? Mm-hmm.
And it's all about developing that relationship. And I mean, for those listeners who are married, obviously the three of us are not married, at least publicly, that we're able to talk about.
What?
Just kidding. For any formators listening, we are not married. But the relationship with your spouse, you've got to talk to them. You've got to communicate, and you have to bring these concerns. Otherwise, that relationship is just going to be very superficial.
Right.
It's the same thing with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You have to bring Him these concerns. He knows what's going on. He knows that you failed this test, or that you're not doing this, or that work is going bad. He knows all these things, but until you actually bring them to Him, it's just going to stay at a superficial level. You're never going to actually be able to work your way through these problems, and that's all He wants. He wants to be that rock in your life. He wants you to come with all your problems, all your worries, and just lay them before Him, the Blessed Sacrament.
Because through that, you kind of, you in a certain sense grow in a dependency on God, you know? Mm-hmm. So you realize that everything good comes from Him, and everything that's, you know, kind of disordered in your life can be ordered by His grace and by His providence, and you just lay it at His feet, and then He'll be taken care of.
Exactly. Which is one of the things that we were saying. So why should one want to, I think we've already kind of hit at this, but why should one want to go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just adore our Lord? PJ, why do you want to go in front of the Blessed Sacrament?
It's all about encounter for me. It's all about being able to encounter Christ in the deepest way possible. I try to make sure, this is something that I'm stealing this again from another one of the AM 820 shows, Father John Ricardo. He liked to talk about how he will put a crucifix on all his walls so that no matter where he looks when he's in his office, he can see Christ. And I've done that in my room. I have maybe not a crucifix, but I have an image of Christ on every single flat wall in my room so that no matter where I'm looking, I can't be away from Him. And that's helped me grow a relationship, but adoration is really going to bring that relationship even fuller, because you're encountering Him in the fullest way that a human being can on earth.
Right. And PJ, I do have to say the Pittsburgh flag does not count as an image of Christ in your room. So make sure you put a different image on that wall.
Well, the crucifix is, it's next to.
Okay. All right. As long as it's still there.
But it's still there. It's right next to the Penguins, victory banners.
Oh my gosh,
Alfonso, let's move this on and make it actually about church again. Why do you want to go in front of the Blessed Sacrament?
Well, I mean, I can't stop from imagining that adoration, especially in front of the, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, in a certain sense, that's what you do in heaven. You're in the presence of God, and you adore God, and that's basically the beatific vision of what we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives, and that's our ultimate happiness. And so there's a way that we can begin that ultimate happiness here on earth, mm-hmm. and that's to live in His presence. And I think it was Catherine of Siena who said that sometimes you have to leave. You know, you have to leave adoration because you have to go do work, because we're here on earth and we have obligations to do. And so she said, well, when you do that, you have to go and do your obligations, but you retreat into the chapel of your heart and you adore the Eucharistic Lord there. And so
wish I had that deep of faith.
which is hard. It's the habit of prayer. But it's kind of like what we should be striving to, because if you have that persistent knowledge, awareness of God's presence, then I think you can retain a certain sense of joy in adversity, and you can persevere through difficulties, and it can really enrich your life.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I like to go. Is our vice director, Father Insweiler, actually said in one of our house meetings, it was in regards to one of the breaks that we had, where you've got to keep in mind what keeps you centered. You can't focus without X amount of hours for sleep. And this is all the personal things. How mm-hmm. much sleep do you need, or how much food do you need to be actually functioning? And he related that to our prayer life. And that's one of the things where, I haven't given any homilies other than the ones in our classes. And I remember one time Father Baker and I don't think either of you were in our preaching section, but three or four of us got up and gave homilies, and he just said, guys, those were some of the most boring homilies I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
And so I started reflecting back. It's like, well, what did I do differently for this one? And it's because I wasn't praying. I wasn't going in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So this is really one of those things that now, after being in seminary for 5 years, I really need to keep my spiritual life up. Is it doesn't have to exactly be an hour. I know the scripture passage where the holy hour comes from, could you not keep watch with just an hour? Mm-hmm. Our Lord knows our lives are going to come up in ways. It shouldn't be every time, but if you can only give Him 15 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour that day, as long as you're spending some time and making those sacrifices to spend some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord understands that, and He's going to reward you for it, because you're taking that time where, oh, I could take a nap. No, I probably should forego that nap and go spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which is really all He asks, because He wants us to love Him, which what Alfonso intimated at with heaven is just us adoring our Lord mm-hmm. and loving Him, because we understand Him at His fullness, at His fullest. And PJ was saying where this is the fullest we can get here on earth is the Blessed Sacrament. So
I have a good analogy for this situation. So here in Central Ohio, we don't get a ton of sun. As a result, many people, if you've been to your doctor recently, like I probably should be, going to, you'll find that you probably have a vitamin D deficiency because you aren't getting enough sunlight. So you have to take a vitamin D supplement. Well, humanity, because of our original sin, we've got a beatific vision deficiency.
Right.
We are not seeing God completely. So we need to, just like we need to go outside and get some sun every once in a while, we need to go in front of the sun and get some
Jesus.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far, but essentially, there's a reason why the monstrance, which is the golden stand that the host goes in, there's a reason it looks like the sun. Its rays are coming out and affecting our lives in the most deep way, because that's what's happening with our presence at the Blessed Sacrament. Just by being there, even if you're having a terrible day, even if everything's going wrong, even if you don't believe, just by being there, you are going to receive some level of grace.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're struggling with that silence that you intimated at.
Absolutely. Yep.
Alfonso, you had something.
Yeah, and PJ, to add on to that, the stand that the monstrance, the object where you place the host in, the stand is called a Tabor, and that's in reference to Mount Tabor, where the transfiguration of our Lord occurred, in which He was, shown, like He emanated light.
Boom.
And so it's just...
Bibled. Right. It's great.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
There's, I mean, that's just a point. There's a reason... There's a name for everything in the church, and there's a reason why it's there.
Yeah.
Nothing is accidental.
No.
And that's... It's beautiful when you understand it.
Mm-hmm. So we've kind of talked about now the silence and all that, and the quote that I'm about to say might kind of skew your answers one way or the other, but St. John Vianney, and this... We don't know if this is true or what, but it's attributed to St. John Vianney when he was with one of his parishioners in rural France, where they're not the, in whatever year he was around, where they're not the educated people that we have today, where he can't read, he can't do all these things. He doesn't have the tradition of all these different prayers that he's able to do. But he walks in and sees a parishioner who is in the back row during adoration and just sees him week in, week out. And finally, St. John Vianney asks him, what are you doing here when you're not, if you're not able to do all these prayers that people come here and do? And the man's response is probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard, where it's, I look at him and he looks at me, and that's all that matters. And so with that in mind, do we constantly have to be vocalizing some sort of prayer? Well, hopefully not necessarily out loud, but in our mind, we have to constantly have this noise in our mind to really perform the adoration that our Lord wants from us.
I don't think so. I think that we our presence and our actions fulfill, because this is going back to what St. Paul asks us to do, which is to pray always. And it's not possible to vocally pray always. Mm-hmm. We have to have relationships with other people. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to work. We have to do all these things. So, are you making your work prayer? Are you making your time with your family prayer? Are you making your time with your friends prayer? Are you consecrating all of it to God? And when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you don't need to be vocally praying or vocally praising. You're there. Mm-hmm. You're already there. It's very similar to confession. Priests are very commonly told that the fact that you are at confession is showing that you are sorry for your sins. So the fact that you're at adoration, that's demonstrating your love for Christ,
mm-hmm.
even in the smallest way.
Mm-hmm.
And even if all you do is sit there and look and say nothing audibly and have no thought go through your mind, you are still doing a glorious and very efficacious thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I listened to a talk by a Trappist monk one time, and he talked about kind of like the maturity of the prayer life. And he made an analogy to a relationship with someone. And he said that when you first meet someone and you're just an acquaintance with them, you say, good morning, how are you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just pleasantries like that. In a certain sense, the prayers like the Our Father or the Hail Mary, those basic prayers that one learns as children kind of act that way, as the good morning, how are you? And then later on, when you get to know someone, you begin to have more detailed conversations with them, and you get to know them better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like discursive prayer, where you know, like I was saying, what I do when I go into adoration, I just kind of lay everything out to the Lord and just kind of try to have a conversation. Eventually, you can think of like an old couple that's been married for like 50 years, that they can sit in the living room together, and there's utter silence, but there's a certain intimacy there. But because they've known each other for so many years, it's not uncomfortable, and they can just be around each other, and they can interact with each other in a certain sense. But nothing is being said,
right?
And I think that's the same thing with our Lord. You know, with what you were saying, what St. John Vianney was saying,
mm-hmm.
is that eventually you grow into this relationship with the Lord, and silence is not an absence of prayer, but it becomes a prayer unto itself, in a way where you can really have an encounter with the Lord there.
Right. And this does require a certain amount, as we already kind of talked about, where getting over that initial hump of silence is such a struggle for us. And I know for me personally, one of the first things I always do in front of the Blessed Sacrament to start off however long the period of time I'm going to adore our Lord is the rosary. That's a great way where you're meditating upon the mysteries of Christ and his life, and really just calm myself and center myself, and then I can go into that silence. And so before we really start wrapping up, we want to get into a very practical thing now, where we've talked about adoration for a while, and we're going to turn over to our resident Columbus Seminarian, and PJ is actually going to list somewhere within the Columbus area the different places that one could actually go where there's either an hour or perpetual adoration available.
There's a number of places around Columbus where perpetual adoration is available. I want to highlight my home parish, Mighty St. Matthew's in Gahanna. Just in the last year or two, we've opened up a perpetual adoration chapel. It's absolutely beautiful. Knights of Columbus did a great job. They've sponsored it, built it. It's wonderful. So highly recommend you check that out. St. Michael the Archangel on High Street in Worthington has a beautiful adoration chapel. And Immaculate Conception off North Broadway in Columbus also has a really good one. I've been to all three of those, and they're wonderful. I can also recommend St. Joan of Arc in Powell, which has adoration Monday 9 a.m. through Friday 8 a.m. St. John Newman in Sunbury has adoration, as well as St. Elizabeth Ann Seton and Church of the Resurrection in Pickerington and New Albany, respectively. They have... they at least have the Blessed Sacrament Chapel open and available for people to go into, even if our Lord is not exposed.
So there's plenty of opportunities here in Columbus, and just spend some time in front of our Lord and just pray with him and build that relationship. And PJ, if you'll close us out with a prayer.
Indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Sancti.